James chapter 4, look there starting in verse number 7. We'll read down to verse number 12. Here it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" I'm going to preach there out of verse 11. Speak not evil one of another there, brethren. So today it's going to be the fiery flame of the tongue. All right? The fiery flame of the tongue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful again to be in your house, Lord. And I pray that you'll meet with us here now. I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you'll give me the direction, the boldness, the wisdom to preach your word here today. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that it will be an inward look here tonight. And just pray, Lord, for your will to be done here tonight. We'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, gossip, all right? Speaking not evil one of another, brethren, right? Talking about gossip. Gossip is a very destructive sin anywhere in the world, but especially in a church, right? Gossip may seem like a small sin, but it is very, very destructive. It disguises itself, okay? It disguises itself in things such as, "Oh, I'm concerned," okay? Or, "Hey, I'm just sharing." Or, "I was talking to so-and-so, and they said." All right, there's your warning. All right, when you're talking with someone, hey, if someone says those things along those lines, you need to probably run. Get away, okay? They are about to gossip. Many friends have been lost. Many marriages have been lost. And even many churches have been ruined by gossiping tongues. Right, gossip is described in the Bible as backbiting, busybody, evil speaking, slanderer, talebearer, and tattler. And usually this is going on talking about people behind someone's back, right, when they're not present. So there's a story. It goes like this. A woman went to her pastor and confessed, "Pastor, I have been gossiping and I feel terrible." The pastor handed her a bag of feathers and told her to place one at each of the doorsteps of each person that she had gossiped about. She did and returned back to the pastor, and the pastor told her to go and collect all of those feathers back up again. So she went and she tried to do that, but found they were all gone. And so she went back to the pastor, and the pastor told her, "That is how gossip works. Once spoken, you can never take it back." Okay? To spread rumors about someone in an evil way or an attempt to hurt them is very wicked. It's a sin and it is gossip. We need to be extremely careful in dealing with the information that we pass along. All right, look here in James chapter 3. Look there in verse number 6. All right, let me just read number 5 where I'm at. Look at verse 5. James 3:5, it says, "Even so the tongue is a little member," right? Our tongue is small, right? He says, "and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Verse 6, "and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members," listen, "that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." That's the tongue. Right, that's our little member is our tongue. And look there in verse 8. He says this. He says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Right, we need to remember that. The fiery flame of the tongue. Our tongue is a small member. It's a part of our body, but it can do such havoc. It can wreak such trouble and damage so much. Hey, I want you to remember, we can either encourage one another. Right? We can encourage our brethren by lifting them up and encouraging them, or we can tear them down with our tongue. It's that simple. We're doing one or the other. The fiery flame of the tongue. First, I want you to see here that gossip is against God. If you could turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and I do have a lot of verses, and we're going to flip to a lot of verses, and hopefully you'll write down a lot of these verses as well and look at them later as well. But we're going to get going in Proverbs chapter 6, and I want you to see here that gossip is against God, okay? In Proverbs chapter 6, look there at starting in verse number 16. He says here, "These six things doth the Lord," what? "Hate," okay? "Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him." So let's look at it. What is it? We have a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. All those are what God hates. But now this one is an abomination. He says, "And he that soweth discord among the brethren." Right? That last sin there stands in a class all by itself. Sowing discord among the brethren. Right? That's what gossip does. Gossip sows discord, and God says it is an abomination. The definition of an abomination is this: it's something that is hated, something that God hates. It is an object of disgust. It is detestable in the sight of God. Okay? God hates this so much, He says it's an abomination. That would be serious, people. That would be serious, okay? But see, many people treat gossip as a very small and insignificant sin, but the Bible teaches that it is a detestable sin that God, beyond all measure, hates. Now, when you start to think about a rebellious person, or about a gossip, one who gossips, a gossip usually is going to be a rebellious person. Okay, rebellion is usually behind one that gossips. They'll go around and around and get information from others, and so that they can go about and gossip it to others. And behind a rebellious person is going to find a prideful issue. You're still there in Proverbs, so flip over to Proverbs chapter 14. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 and look there at verse number 3. Proverbs 14, verse 3 says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride." Right? Pride is a serious thing. God hates pride. He says, "But the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Flip over to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. We know this one, common one here. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Listen, God hates the sin of gossip so much because it is the result of Satan's initial sin, which was what? Pride. Pride is what caused him to be kicked out of heaven. He said, I. Right? I want to be like the Most High God. He was full of pride. And when you get down to it, gossip, a person who gossips really is a rebellious person who is a very prideful person. In Psalm 101:5, the Bible said, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off." All right, that's serious words we're talking about here. Right? God, the sin of gossip is against God. He is against it. It is abomination. Now, if you remember, an example here in the Bible would be over in Numbers chapter 12. And we don't have to turn there. But in Numbers chapter 12, in verses 1 through 10, here we have Miriam and we have Aaron who were gossiping. Okay, they were talking about Moses. Right? They were talking and gossiping about Moses, his wife. Moses apparently married an Ethiopian woman. And they began gossiping and criticizing the man of God. Right? Never a good idea to criticize the man of God. But that's what they did. And you know, the Lord heard it. Wouldn't you know? He heard it. He heard it. And if you remember, the Lord struck Miriam with leprosy. Right? In Numbers 12:10, the Bible says, "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." Right? And so that teaches us some things. It teaches us, first of all, that God hears our words. He hears us, all right? We cannot hide from God. We cannot speak and think God's not going to hear our words. He knows our words before we even speak them. Why? Because He knows our hearts. He knows our heart. But He knows and He hears our words. He hears our conversation. You cannot hide anything from God. But we also need to see from this here that gossip brings judgment. Okay? Gossip brings judgment, and the judgment came upon Miriam through the leprosy. But listen, if we love the Lord, we say we want to live for the Lord, and we want to be in God's will. Hey, we got to reject gossip, all right? We got to reject it. We need to look within our hearts. You're still there in Proverbs, okay? Turn over to let's go over to Psalms. All right, you're close there. So turn over to Psalm 139. Right? We need the Holy Spirit to convict us. We need to have a close walk with the Lord. We have to be in fellowship with the Lord. And part of this is confessing our sins. Part of this is asking God to show us. Right? Maybe there's a sin we've forgotten about. Right? We need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to convict us. In Psalm 139, look there in verse 23 and 24. In Psalm 139, the Bible says, "Search me, O God." Hey, that should be our prayer. Search me, O God. Hey, not search my neighbor, not search my spouse, but search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what we need to do. Right? If we truly love the Lord and we truly want to walk with Him and be close to Him, we need to have Him search me, O God, confessing our sin. And then when He shows us our sin, we need to confess it, repent it, turn from it, okay? Turn from it. Hey, we need to stand against gossip. Don't give an ear to it. Do not partake in it. Just go the other way. And let's turn over to the New Testament there. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look there in verse 13. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 13. Here's a danger here, okay? First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house," all right? Wandering about from house to house. They didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have social media, so they had to go house to house, okay? And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies. And then you go, speaking things which they ought not to. Hey, you see, some of us, we have too much idle time on our hands, right? And you know what? When we have too much idle time on our hands, we can use it in the wrong way. The devil can come in and he can tempt us. He can steer us to use that in the wrong way. And instead of wandering from house to house, all we have to do today is what? Pick up the phone. Right? We can pick up the phone and we can call so-and-so and be like, you're not going to believe what just happened. Hey, you know what so-and-so did? Hey, do you know what that preacher said today? You're not going to believe it. Right? And then it just stumbled. He says, speaking things which they ought not. You see, social media, the cell phones, they've enhanced that distraction or that temptation to just go ahead and easily repeat things that you ought not to, right? That you ought not to be talking about. In Proverbs 26:20, the Bible says this, "Where no wood is, there the fire go out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases," right? If we're walking with the Lord, confessing our sins, "Search me, O God," right? We're not using our idle times for these sorts of things. We're repenting of gossip. We're guarding our tongues. And you know why we need to guard our tongues? This is an important message. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 12, I'll show you the verse. But Matthew chapter 12 is going to show us you need to guard the tongue because every single word that we speak, we're going to give an account for. We're going to be given an account. And the worst thing that I could imagine, I don't know, there's probably lots of things, but I can't imagine, like, standing in front of Jesus Christ, it's His church, He died for the church, shed His blood for the church, and then you'll have somebody there that was gossiping about His church. That would be awful. That would be awful, right? Here in Matthew 12, look there in verse 36 and verse 37. He says here, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Right? That's a reminder, but that's a scary thought. Okay? In verse 37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Right? It's important. The words that we speak are very important. Okay? The people who just go about and you know, they just talk about anything that just comes to mind, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I see that and I'm just, it's a scary thing, right? It's a scary thing to think. Every word that I speak up here, I will have to give an account one day, right? Did I teach you from God's Word? Did I train you from God's Word, right? That's a scary, scary thought. Okay? Hey, look there in Matthew 12. Look at verse 25. He says this. Hey, the importance of a house united, the importance of unity. He says here, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Hey, listen. A house divided is going to fall. A house divided will not stand, okay? It won't take long before it crumbles. It's destroyed, right? A house divided will fall. And Jesus taught that, but Paul also taught us this. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. I want you to see something right here in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing," and right here, "and that there be no divisions among you." Right? No divisions, right? We're one church, we have one Father, we're worshiping one Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to come together, unified in one, right? We should be speaking the same things, "and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together," here it is, "in the same mind and in the same judgment," right? Hey, we all come together for one reason, right? For the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Right? Okay. We're all here for the same purpose, we want to glorify the same God, right? We want to win souls to Jesus Christ. We're all here for that. So we should all be in the same mind. There shouldn't be any speaking evil one of another amongst the brethren in the church. But unfortunately, you know, like I said this morning, we have this flesh. We have this sinful flesh, you know, and pride can sink in and set in, and the devil can use that. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, he says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. In Philippians 1:27, he says, only let your conversation be as it becoming the gospel of Christ. Hey, our conversation, that's what we should be talking about. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, the death, burial, and resurrection. "That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast," he says, "in one spirit." Right? In one spirit. Combined, together, adjoined. What is my point? My point is gossip is against God. But secondly, I want you to see here, if you could turn back to our text where we started in James chapter 4, I want you to see here that gossip is a deceiver. It will deceive you. It will deceive you. In James chapter 4, look there at verse number 11. He says there, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So here's the thing. We got to be careful what we repeat. We have to be careful. We have to be careful about someone, what someone else tells us, and how we go about spreading that. Right? We don't know if it's true. We don't know if it's false. But you see, this is evil when we just go about and spread that. A lot of times, people will say things to make themselves look better, and leave out the details of the sin in their own lives. Okay. You see, a gossip is a person who has been deceived. They've been deceived, okay? They are truly trying to hurt someone else. They've been deceived about their own lives. In James 1:26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Right? Deceiveth his own heart. The gossip has deceived their own heart. Right? They want people to think very well of them, okay, without dealing with the sins in their own life. They don't want to face the fact that there's sin in their life, and so they go about saying things to others to take that attention away from their sin. Ultimately, what they're doing is playing the part of a Christian, okay? Whether they're playing the part of a Christian, okay? A whisperer, a backbiter. Romans chapter 1 talks about a whisperer and a backbiter. And, hey, listen, here's the warning. If you turn over to Galatians chapter 6, it gives us a warning, another warning. I'm giving you some warnings here today. I want you to see here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, the Bible gives us a clear warning. Okay? See with a gossip, it doesn't matter if it's true or false. Right? They get that information and they just want to go about and spread whatever that might be, right? Speaking evil about another brother. Okay, but the Bible gives us plenty of warnings. And here's another warning in Galatians chapter 6. He tells us what? Be not deceived. Right? First thing, be not deceived. Do not deceive yourself. It says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap it. Okay? For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, you're going to reap it. Okay? God hears you. God sees you. God knows your heart. And one of the biggest problems in our church today is we have a lot of Christians who are out of fellowship with the Lord. Right? They're not walking with the Lord. The prayer isn't, search me, O God. They're not confessing their sin. They are out of fellowship with the Lord, and they know it. Okay, they are in destruction mode. They're not reading their Bibles. They're not praying. They're not coming to church. And when they do come to church, they know that they have sin in their hearts, and they listen to the preached word of God, and the Holy Spirit does His job, and He convicts the heart. Right, but that person sits there and does nothing, doesn't come to the altar, doesn't confess it before the Lord, and then they leave and go out into the world, and then they wonder why they're miserable in life. They're miserable because they know the truth. God has done His job. The Holy Spirit has convicted them, but they've not done their job and gave it to the Lord and confessed it. Right? Flip over to 1 John chapter 1. We need to pay close attention to our walk with the Lord. Our fellowship with God is very important. And it's not a once-a-week thing on Sunday morning. It's an everyday thing. All right, that's what I'm trying to get on you, right? If you get it, we can move on, right? If we get it, we move on. But hey, we got to understand that having a close walk with the Lord is important. In 1 John chapter 1, start there in verse number 6. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, right? We know we have sin in our heart, so we're walking in darkness, but we say we have fellowship with Him, what's the case? What does He say? He says, we lie. We've deceived ourselves. We've been deceived by deceiving ourselves. We lie and do not the truth. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, Jesus is the light, As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hey,
look, the promises are here, right? We have that sin in our life. The blood of Jesus Christ has already cleansed us. Right? It cleanses our sin.
All we have to do is confess that sin. Okay? Verse 8, He says, if we say that we have no sin, again, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But verse number 9 gives us that glorious promise. Right? Whatever it is, it may not be gossip, okay? It may be something else.
But whatever that is, whatever that sin is in your life that has separated from you from God,
we all have the same promise right here in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's right there for each one of us to claim it, you know, and confess our sins. Hey, listen, if you don't know both sides of the story, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it, okay? God uses many words in the Bible, busybody. He says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, He says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies, right? Busybodies, moving around, spreading lies, spreading gossip. In 1 Peter 4:15, He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Right? He throws a gossip in there with a murderer and a thief. You see, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. So what does the Bible tell us to do with a person who is a busybody? Let's flip over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look there in verse number 6. Second Thessalonians 3:6 says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye received of us. Right, we need to withdraw ourselves from that situation. Look there at verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. In Proverbs 20, in verse 19, he says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. So what do we need to do? Right, we need to, when that temptation comes or that person tries to get us involved in the gossip, what do? We need to not partake in it. Right? We need to not partake in it. Why? Because gossip is serious. We need to separate ourselves from it. Thirdly here, moving on, I want you to see that gossip is a defiler. It defiles. Now let's turn over to Matthew. All right, let's look at Matthew for this one. Matthew chapter 15. I want you to see here that gossip is a defiler. It will defile you. In Matthew chapter 15, look there at verses 18 and 19. Matthew 15, 18 says here, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Okay? And they defile the man. Right? It's what comes out of the heart. Remember, the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Okay? In verse 19 he says, for out of the heart, there you go, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Right. That's out of the heart. Many people think that gossip only harms others, but it actually harms the one that's doing it. It defiles your own soul. You see, the problem isn't from without. The problem is from within. From within, okay? For out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh. Now, let's turn over to Esther. Esther, the book of Esther. Okay, it's before Job. Now, you might remember if you remember here, remember Haman gave an evil report. Now, he gave an evil report against the Jews. Okay, he went to King Ahasuerus and he spread a wicked rumor about the Jews. Okay, because he wants to get them put to death. All right, and Esther chapter 3, I want to read just a couple verses here, in verse number 8. Esther chapter 3, in verse number 8, there before Job. Esther 3:8 says, "And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries." Verse 10 there, "And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy." Now what did Haman do? Right? He spread lies. He exaggerated. He painted the Jews as a threat. Right? They weren't obeying you, king. They're a threat. We got to do something about it. We got to put them to death. And his lies, if you remember, almost led to the destruction of the Jews. But now what happened to Haman? It's interesting what happened to Haman. His sin found him out. And he was hanged on his own gallows, wasn't he? Right? He was hanged on his own gallows. But I want you to see here, this here teaches us that gossip will often backfire on the one spreading it. Right? Again, be sure your sin will find you out. The next time we're tempted to gossip, remember that it is defiling your own soul. It is defiling you. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth," right? Let no corrupt communication. It should be good. It should be edifying. It should be of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? In Luke 6:31, the Bible says, "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise," right? Likewise. And in Titus 3:2, the Bible says, "To speak evil of no man." Again, to speak evil of no man. But you also see, I'm going to give you another example here about Jesus. All right, so if you could flip back to Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 26. I want you to see, you remember the false accusations against Jesus. Right? You remember that. We have the chief priests, we have the elders. They're all trying to bring about a false witness upon Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, I'll read a couple of verses here in 59, starting in 59. Matthew 26, verse 59. It says here, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, this fellow said," right? This fellow said. Have you heard that before? Hey, this person said. Hey, so-and-so said, right? But this person, and this fellow said, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days," right? They thought that Jesus was talking about the temple, right? But they're talking about himself, right? They twisted his words. They took his words out of context. And what was the result? We know that Jesus was falsely accused. He was falsely condemned. And the crowd deceived and turned on him. Right? And they shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And the innocent man, Jesus Christ, was crucified there. So, before repeating anything, we need to ask ourselves, is it true? Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it God-pleasing? Does it please the Lord? Is it Christ-honoring? Hey, any of these things we can ask. Before I even speak, ask these questions. Does it please the Lord? Is it Christ-honoring? And if it fails any of these tests, don't say it. Don't say it, right? Let me give you a last thing here. I want you to see here that gossip is a deep pit. The deep pit. In Proverbs 18, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." All right? Now, here's the thing with the gossip. Strangely enough, the person who gossips wants to control, usually, the person that they're gossiping about. Okay? They get their self-esteem, their self-confidence from controlling and manipulating other people. They will appear excessively preoccupied with the needs of others, and they do this for one reason, so they can gain stuff to gossip about. Okay? That they do this so that person will feel indebted to them and share some intimate details that they can go about and spread. Usually a gossip you're going to find is usually a negative person. They have an exalted opinion of their own importance. People who gossip are going to be rebellious people to authority. Okay? They're going to be rebellious to authority. These are the people who have an opinion to share. Right? You know someone like that, they always have an opinion. Right? Doesn't matter, they're going to get the last word in. They always have an opinion, and it's usually gossip, right? They have an opinion on those in authority, right? Whether it's the wife to the husband, or whether it's in the church to the pastor, or whatever it is, even a boss, right? But it usually is to that person in authority that they have the issue with. In Proverbs 26:17, the Bible says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." Right? See, people who gossip want others to feel sorry for themselves. Right? They want to pull other people down into the deep pit with them. Okay? The deep pit with them. So, I said all this to get to the end here. So, what do you suppose we should do? Right? Instead of gossiping about somebody, if somebody has truly done something wrong, or somebody has truly offended you, or something has happened, what should we do? Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. And we're just about here going to wrap this up here. But Matthew chapter 18. Hey, we're going to see here that we need to go to that person. If somebody has offended us or something along those lines, we need to not gossip about it, but we need to go to that person. Matthew chapter 18. Now look here first in verse number 15. He says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." You get that? Go to that person, and go to that person alone. Okay? "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Okay? Notice here, if your brother sins against you, then you go to that person. You get that? You go to that person, and that person only. If the person has sinned against your friend in the church and your friend hasn't gone to that other person, don't listen to it. Don't listen to that. You have no business listening or getting involved in that. If your friend hasn't gone to that person, then you should not even listen. Because when you listen, you become guilty of the gossip yourself. Okay? The goal of this situation here is to gain our brother. Right? To gain our brother. Right? It's to restore a brother. To gain a brother. And that's done through love. Right? Love is the motive here. Gossip, the motive is to destroy and tear down. But when we're restoring, when we're gaining our brother, it's love. And love, we should have Christian love one for another. Love is what should be the motive here. Okay? And Paul taught that in Galatians chapter 6, 1. I'll give you that in a second here. But you see, in that verse there, when it says gain our brother, a lot of times people take things the wrong way, don't they? Right? We take things the wrong way. A lot of times, you know, you're upset at a brother or sister because you perceive them to do something, whether they did or not, but that person doesn't even know about it. That person's unaware of it. They don't even know that they did anything wrong. Right? And so we want to go to them. Why? Because they may not even know they did anything wrong. We want to go to them to gain a brother, go to them out of love. In Galatians 6:1, Paul taught that as well. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness." Right? In meekness, go to that person, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Right? If you don't go to that person and get it squared away in brotherly love, you know what's going to happen? You'll have that root of bitterness pop in. That root of bitterness is where, you know, a lot of things will happen. Gossip's going to happen. Envy. All these things are going to happen. But you go to that person and you gain them. I love, let's continue there in Matthew 18. He says there in 16, he says, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Hey, if only if we go to that brother or that sister and they do not listen, then we should take another brother or two with us. If they don't listen, then we need to go to the church. But you see, my point here is that gossip will destroy, but love will restore. So imagine you're called to a court case to be a witness of an accident. As you take the stand, a lawyer begins to ask you what you saw. Since you did not actually see the accident happen for yourself, you begin to describe what your friend has told you happened. Before you get very far, the lawyer for the other side yells out, "Objection, hearsay." In other words, you did not witness the events that happened, and you can only provide hearsay of what happened. Right? The court's not looking for hearsay. It's not looking for that type of evidence because it knows that it is only gossip. Okay, the court will only convict men on the basis of evidence and by witness testimony, not by hearsay. Point is, we need to not condemn the brethren or the sisters or our fellow, anybody in the church or anywhere outside, that based on what our friends have told us, based on hearsay, based on what someone else has said. Hey, this is gossip. This is bearing false witness. This is against God. It's a deceiver. It's a defiler. The warnings of God are made clear here. We need to let the Lord have full reign of our hearts, our souls, our minds. Let Him have full reign of you today. Hey, maybe it wasn't gossip. Maybe it was something else for you. But whatever it is, if there is whatever that sin is, hey, we need to come forward. Come to the altar. Give it to the Lord. Hey, maybe you've never been to the altar before. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you haven't been to the altar in a long time. Maybe you need to come. Maybe husbands and wives need to come today. Just give it to the Lord. Whatever it is, do not take it out of this place. You will continue to be miserable. The Holy Spirit will continue to convict you. Through His Word, He will continue to convict you, and you will be miserable until you give it to the Lord and let Him deal with it. Remember, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Let's pray.